Is it conceivable that a pastor might be reticent to do what you're suggesting?
I think if the pastor approaches somebody out of weakness, you know, if somebody comes to you and say, "I got a problem, could you help me?" How are you going to respond? You know,
I'm going to help
them. Yeah, you're going to want to help.
I'm going to be anxious to
help. You want to help in any way you can. So if they come to you and say, you know, "I'm preached out. I've been in the church for 3 years. I've used every old sermon I can remember. And for some reason, I don't seem to be growing in my spiritual life. And yet I have to preach this coming Sunday. Could you help me?" Mm-hmm. How could you help me? Just help me come up with some ideas. I'm stuck. You know, the Bible is kind of dry to me right now. Well, if they talk to you, I know you're going to say, "Sure, I'll be happy." In fact, Dean, you would give them all kind of hours and you'd give them all kind of ideas and everything. That's just who you are. But almost everybody is that way. Mm-hmm. I find, you know, if I play on people's pity, be ruthless in whatever approach you want to take. But I would say to me, you know, I'm doing 5 television shows and 6 radio shows every week. You know, sometimes I don't even have a chance to think. What would you do if you were in my position? What themes would you take on? Mm-hmm. I found all kinds of themes that came to me that were not my interest areas, but were things people were interested in. So therefore, I wanted to do series on them. And if you have a mental block and you sit down and you try to figure it out yourself, you know, you can sit there for 2 hours at your desk, and when it's all done, you got some little scribbles you've done on your paper. But if you get on a phone call with somebody within a matter of 5 minutes, just the other person there, you're thinking new ideas and you're trying to respond, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe it's something the person said that has nothing to do with the idea you came up with, but it sparked the idea. They said, "Oh, that's good," you know. So I find that the more you try to go it alone and say, "I'm going to be the guy who, or the gal who, I'm going to solve this problem on my own regardless." You know, I've gone to, you know, we're talking adults now, but I've often gone to kids. And I say, "You know what, look at me. I'm 74 years old. And they asked me to speak for the youth group. How in the world am I going to say something to the youth group that can be of value? Tell me what problems the youth groups have." And then I'm asking, I can probably figure them out. I can read stories. I can go buy a book on youth group. Why do that? It takes too much time. Just go talk to somebody in middle school, you know, and you're going to get ideas very fast.
Yeah, find out what their problems are. It occurs to me that part of this is also framed within the context that pastors need to learn to be willing to be transparent, more transparent in their own spiritual walk. After all, we're all on this quest together. We're all walking the pathway that the Holy Spirit has laid out before us, and none of us have achieved perfection. We're all simply sinners saved by God's grace through the power of the blood of Christ. And yes, pastors have had the opportunity to have training, and our great expectation would be they've been called by God to that position, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're superhuman individuals. In fact, it's my experience that the pastor who thinks that he or she is a superhuman individual is really a very ineffective pastor. So being willing to come and say, and maybe you don't need to say, you know, "I'm dry, I'm out of ideas," but even just saying, "I'm interested in your input. What ideas might you have for me?" You make yourself open, but you don't even have to make yourself super vulnerable. Just be transparent that I'm interested in ideas that you might have for me. So if a pastor doesn't need ideas for future messages, but needs help in putting a sermon together for this coming Sunday, what would you suggest?
So you're putting an immediacy to it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd do the same thing, but I would put the urgency in there. It's Thursday, and I'm going to preach this Sunday, and they put the bulletin together, and I can't put a sermon title in there because I don't know what I'm going to preach on. And I know we had a social night tonight with you guys. Could we take just, 15 minutes of our conversation that you would help me kind of get a direction for where I should go this Sunday? And then what you're trying to do is to say, just tell me the subject. I want to know the subject to talk on. So you're going back to those 4 questions. Subject, response, how to. Well, that's the subject. Okay, you think we should talk about jealousy. Okay. Now, what would be the response that would be called for in terms of we want to overcome jealousy? That's what we want to do. We don't want people to be jealous. Were you ever jealous, and were there times when you had to work through that? What did you do? You know, so you're just asking questions. Help me, who in the scriptures was a jealous person? You know, how do we get on top of that? And, you know, now the interesting thing is I have never once in all these years, and I've done this time and again, I've never once had somebody say, you're taking advantage of us. You know, you're using my time for socializing to do your job, and I resent this. You know, the truth of the matter is most people got all kinds of ideas, and they want to share, but they're never given opportunity. And they become, once they, for example, if you say it's Thursday and I don't know what I'm going to preach on Sunday, you got, if you're going out as couples, you got two wonderful prayer warriors for you because they're going to pray for you. And in fact, they may even call you on the phone. How are you coming? Have you got something yet? They're as nervous as you are, you know. Yeah, that was a very helpful conversation. You know, pray for me. I'm probably to the place where I still have two thirds of the things to put. I'm looking for an illustration. Got an illustration? You know, I just found those to be a remarkable resource. I was interviewed once by one of the major religious magazines. You'd recognize that name right away if I told you. And they said to me, David, what are your favorite commentaries? And I said, well, probably I like Eliot, and I like Feldball, and I like Dutter. And they said, well, I've never heard of the Eliot, Feldball, Dutter commentaries. Are those new? I said, no, they're not new. They're not published. And they said, what do you mean they're not? I said, well, those are lay people in the church, and they're the ones I tend to go to when I'm stuck. So I like the Feldball works for the Chicago School Board, you know, Dutter's a social worker and so on. And those are the ones they didn't think it was a very good idea. They thought I was a little bit dumb, you know, because I was supposed to say Matthew Henry or somebody like that. But those were my commentaries. They're the living commentaries I would go to most often.
Well, you were speaking the truth.
Yeah, I sure was.
You were going to the people that you're going to be preaching to and saying, where are your needs? And the thing that I keep coming back to in my mind as you relate this, pastors today are challenged to be relevant to where their people are. Mm-hmm. Yet so many pastors never ask their people what's going on in their lives. They wait until somebody comes to them seeking counseling or prayer or something else, but they never go out and actively say, what's going on in your life? What are some of the issues that you're facing? Or what would you like to hear me share from Scripture that you might find helpful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's part of this process that we're talking about.
Now, I wouldn't say that none of the pastors do. Most of the pastors don't, but some pastors do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the good ones who do, and I'm putting myself in the good category, I guess. But, you know, the more I talk with pastors, they are very capable of relating to their lay people on a regular basis, finding out what is working and what isn't working. So all that, that's about as much as I can help in that area. And I understand that you want to talk about workaholism yet?
Yeah, I do. I do have one more question, though, if you'll indulge me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if you hadn't asked for help, even as creative as you are, might you have had a problem with mental blocks?
Yeah, there's no question I would have.
Okay, so
I'm sure.
Really, the natural solution that you've explained is to seek help.
Yes.
And seek help, and you're going to find help because people are going to be willing to help.
Yeah, I say shamelessly seek help. But the truth is, it doesn't bother people. They always respond positively. You know, you never get to the place where you say, shall we hire the pastor again next year? He doesn't seem to know how to do his job. He keeps asking for help. That's not going to happen.
No.
They're going to basically say he communicates with his people in a phenomenal way. Yeah. Yes, we're fortunate to have him, you know. So
since we've been working on these podcasts and working on them and working on them and working on them, it's okay to talk about workaholism next time?
It's been fun doing them with you, Dean. And workaholism, you know what, you're laughing. It's a very painful topic to me.
Yes, I know it is.
But at the same time, I'm a recovering workaholic. The Lord's done a good work in my life. I continue to have high respect for the problem, and I'm open to talking about it next time.
Good. I'm glad because I've had the privilege of knowing you a long time, and I've seen you in the days of workaholism, and I've seen you in the days as a recovering workaholic. So I'm anxious to hear what you have to say with us. We invite you to come back and join us at our SermonCoach.com podcast and also to visit our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources for pastors. It's our desire to help pastors create effective life-transforming sermons. We'll look forward to having you join us when next we meet.